This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Punch today when it comes to our wallets. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us here on this show, America Tonight. Wholesale prices up 11.3%. All the world's a stage and we are just being played. I altered that. So the producer price index, that number, that's up from a year ago in June. And it excludes food, energy, and trade. The core PPI, if you excluded that, was 6.4%. So we have jobless claims that have jumped up. The gas situation, even though it's lower, I'll tell you, it's inflation has hit us in every single way that you can think of. If you don't know the producer price index, it's worth taking a second to tell you. Okay, maybe a couple seconds. It's just a measure of the prices received for final demand products. And this is the highest reading since what was recorded in March. Of the gain, almost 90% came from a 10% increase in final demand energy costs, like price for oil, natural gas, and other products that soared during the month. So that's how we get the number that we get. Just looking at the consumer price index and how that had jumped up, and we're at 9.1% the other day, and then getting this, the fears of a recession. I mean, can you blame anyone who thinks, my God, are we going to be hurled into a recession? And the answer is there is a possibility. It's probably a 50% chance that that could happen. Good chance that that could happen. And it's really affecting people in all kinds of ways. The market meltdowns, pensions for millions of Americans, they're getting robbed because of that. I'd hate to be a doom and gloom right at the top. And trust me, we'll get into the lighter stuff. But this is where we're at. Right? This is where we're at this point. I mean, crazy things are happening. Like Delta having to fly a flight from Heathrow in the UK with 1,000 bags, but no passengers, right? No passengers. We are so having a moment of opposite day after opposite day after opposite day. I mean, listen, and the discussion is, so the markets are not good. We see what the consumer price index is. Now we look at this next index and see how high that is. But it, of course, it was going to be higher. And the big thing is, and I say this all the time when people say, oh, I don't care about the stock market, but then you're lucky enough to be in a 401k. I had a good employer, CBS, and I was in a 401k with them, which thank goodness, because I had an aggressive one, and it helped me later when I jumped to my own stuff and being an entrepreneur. But U.S. employers say they expect the average raise to be 4.1% in 2023. That would be the largest in 15 years, but the problem is it's not keeping up with inflation. It's 4.1% less than half of the headline rate of inflation. So you look at that CPI, the Consumer Price Index, it tracks the prices people pay for goods and services, and it showed that 9.1% year over year the other day. So workers who get an increase, yay, will effectively see their pay cut because their purchasing power is going to be reduced. So it's obvious numbers and playing with the numbers. And it's tight. It's so tight out there. You can feel it because of everything that's being smacked in different directions. Absolutely. Absolutely 100% we're seeing that. And it's scary. It's scary for, like I said, people who have these pension funds and they're counting on them. They scrimp, they save, they put away, and they were counting that there's going to be a payoff at the end of the rainbow. Hopefully, there is, but just even thinking of how many people will be affected with the 100 largest public pension funds in the U.S. traded at 78.6% of their total obligations at the close of the second quarter. That's down from 85.5% at the end of 2021. And all those little numbers really add up to dollars. So, for example, the Teachers Retirement System of Texas, that would be one of them. The California Public Employees Retirement System, which manages the largest public pension fund in the United States. That would be another one that would be affected. I mean, and the list is long, and it goes on and on. So as was described to me, pension funds are like hedge funds, and they're really on shaky ground. But right now, this is where people are at, and so they're stuck if we continue to go down this path. And the more we keep rowing in the same direction, well, I don't have to tell you, you know exactly what happens. Ivana Trump, the ex-wife of former President Donald Trump, died by taking a freakish fall down a staircase. And when the New York Police Department responded, they said there was nothing fishy about it and nothing there. But the 73-year-old Trump was unconscious and unresponsive. So sad for the people that scurried to be by her side, but they did what they could do. Right? In his very first book, Donald Trump, The Art of the Deal, he referred to Ivana Trump as a great manager and described her as demanding and very competitive. They were married for 13 years. 13 years. So while that's happened for about a year, there's been this thing that some of us refer to as a kitchen cabinet of Donald Trump's confidants that have told the former president not to announce his 2024 comeback candidacy before the midterms, saying he could be a drag on candidates and would be blamed if Republicans underperformed. But he's pushing for an early announcement in private meetings, I guess, because more rivals in the Republican Party are starting to emerge, and they're being aggressive and they're campaigning. So I guess the former president, from the rumblings out there, the former president is looking at a September announcement saying he's going to run. So, no joke, he's just looking for the right time. He's meeting with top donors to talk about the race around the country and then setting up a way to have a smooth transition into what will be an interesting road to the 2024 presidency, whoever gets across the finish line. All right, we're opening the door to the man cave, and I will meet you inside next.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from MyPatriotSupply.com. Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
I'm going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave. Yeah, going to the man cave. Oh, yeah. Man cave, man cave, man cave, man cave, man cave.
All right, so, of course, here we are in the man cave, and as I sit here, I'm pondering for ways to talk about this WNBA star, Brittany Griner, who is once again in the middle of this fight for her life on a fourth day of hearings in this drug trial. And the courtroom outside in Moscow is just crazy. So she testified in her defense. She's facing 10 years in prison. She plays for a team in Russia. That's why she was there. A lot of players, especially the women, but so do some of the men, mostly the women, they play in other countries. They pick up extra money that way, serious money, and that's what she's doing. So now she's right in the middle of the diplomatic crisis. You could say, well, the dummy shouldn't have had any signs of any kind of marijuana when she was traveling, and of course that she can't take back. But the Friday hearing is the fourth day in that trial that her defense team says is going to involve five hearings. The sentencing date is unknown, but Russia's already said that no discussions on a prisoner exchange will happen before the trial concludes. So how about that? You know, you have to remember, and I remember this, there's a guy named Paul Whelehan, who's a Marine vet and security consultant. He's serving a 16-year sentence after he was convicted of spying in a closed trial in 2020. And he says he was framed. In her case, she's not saying she was framed. She's saying she made a very bad mistake, that it's a sensitive matter, that she was in a hurry, and this was all accidental. And listen, she's a Phoenix Sun Center. Phoenix Suns, Phoenix Mercury. She wishes Sun. Phoenix Mercury Center, and, you know, now she's in this position. And there was all this speculation about a swap for one of the Russian arms dealer, Victor Bout, who's got that sentence. I mentioned these sentences, you know, Paul Willihan, the Marine vet, he's got this sentence in America, this Russian arms dealer. He's serving 25 years in the U.S. for conspiring to sell arms to a foreign terrorist group and conspiring to kill U.S. citizens. So Grenier is begging him not to forget, begging the president not to forget her and other detainees, saying, "I'm terrified I might be here forever." It's incredibly scary. You can only imagine. They're saying that the U.S. State Department, she's been wrongfully detained, and the White House, they describe the circumstances of the detention intolerable, but they can use their words any way they want. But ultimately, she is in grave danger of not coming back to the U.S. anytime soon. That's for sure. It is all about, in the golf world, all about St. Andrews. Of course, the Open, that's the site for the Open. And a lot of us were pulling for Tiger Woods. And that's what happens. People get built up, and then they have flaws. And then they sort of go away, and then sometimes they come back, and he is an absolutely one of those stories. But he was struggling in the conditions. He was struggling in the wind. So his opening round was pretty tough. He looked decent off the first hole, but then crashed after that. And this is only his third tournament for the season. People have to forget that. He wanted to compete, but he's had to adjust to a few things. And he's had his ball go out into some pretty deep stuff that is tough to hit out of. He does know the course. He won in St. Andrews in 2000 and 2005. But that was then, and this is now. And it's all about that timing. It's all about getting on that roll and being able to tee off and get out there as fast as possible and shake off the round, right? So while there's all these debates about the other tour, for now at least the focus is mostly on the Open and watching and paying attention to what the scoreboard looks like. Because after the second day, then you know who's even in and who's not in, and obviously that's key. But he can't play the way that he's played in this first, and it's just one round. But once you get that one round in the ground and then you're going for the second round, boy, you got to really push yourself to incredible heights, which he's capable of doing. But given the circumstances and what he's fighting up against, it makes it even that much more difficult to do that. And you look at the other names that are in this tournament. Rory McIlroy has a different fate than Tiger Woods. He is 6 under, and he's in second place. Then you have Dustin Johnson, who's tied for fifth. He's 4 under. Cameron Smith is tied for 30s popular player, who obviously plays overseas, and he's 5 under. So this is day two of you're either going to make that cut or not. It's tricky to see where the line will be. But Woods has the same opportunities as everybody else. And we'll see if he steps up or not. I've always wanted to go and see an Open. at St. Andrews, because that, to me, is the course. It's the one that everybody talks about. You can bet I will be lurking at least a little bit of the weekend, surfing around to see what is happening, at least, I guess, score-wise. And when I look at the Dog Days, it's so funny, that nickname, Dog Days. The Rays got by the Bo Sox 5-4. And then how they do that, they had five runs in the seventh for the lead, and they never, ever looked back. Never looked back. So the Rays have 49 wins, and you think of some of those other teams. The Dodgers played the Cardinals, and the Dodgers blanked the Cardinals for nothing. Hugeness feeding into what ultimately is going to be the playoffs. But I've said this before, a team can find it. If the team finds the magic in the bottle, even if it's for a short window of time, if it's the right time, they can turn things around enough that they're competitive heading into the next midterm elections, etc., then it'll be interesting to see the turnout and everything else, that's the fallout from the conventions, or conventional thinking, I guess I should say, conventional thinking. But this is always a good time to go catch a game, because, like I said, Dog Days, so to speak, break in the action, some trades and movement and all of that, and it's incredibly important to have assembled the right people, I guess, let's put it that way. And in the man cave, we can argue about that. We can argue about who are the people that put XYZ in place, right? Who are the people? And, you know, I talked in the beginning of this about Griner and playing for Russia. LeBron James has been critical of the United States' effort to bring her home. Because, of course, this has galvanized the sports world. Lots of people supporting her. And he said, how can she feel like America has her back? And he says, also, I would be feeling like, do I even want to go back to America? And when he tweeted it out, he then came back later in the afternoon and said his comments weren't meant to disrespect our beautiful country, but that he was starting to look at the Grenier situation, or Griner situation, and feeling emotional like other people are feeling for her and feeling like they can't do anything. Yeah, this is one to follow, and a scary one at that. She has pleaded guilty to drug possession and is appearing in court once again. Buckle up. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Joe Biden's upcoming trip to Saudi Arabia has drawn criticism because of the country's human rights violations. In Jerusalem, the president said he has never been silent about human rights. Appearing on Fox News, Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton reacts to the president's remarks.
Joe Biden should stop condemning and trying to ostracize their de facto leader, Mohammed bin Salman, and work with them to bring down the price of oil here for Americans' families here at home.
He says the Biden administration also needs to ramp up domestic oil production. The nation's unemployment lines are getting a little bit longer. The Labor Department reporting 244,000 Americans filed first-time jobless claims last week, 9,000 more than the week before. USA Radio News. Police are issuing a warning for protesters.
Montgomery County Police in Maryland are warning the public that officers will enforce laws against disturbing the peace at protests outside the homes of Supreme Court justices. On its website on Wednesday night, Montgomery County Police posted the following message. There are content-neutral Montgomery County Code and Maryland law provisions that restrict protesting and assembling in a private neighborhood, as well as disturbing the peace. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
The school district in Uvalde, Texas, plans to add more school police officers and stiffen security measures after the shooting that killed 19 children and two teachers at an elementary school in May. Added security will include new perimeter fencing around schools, more security cameras, and upgraded doors. This is USA Radio News.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Virtual green room for a conversation with Drake Alexander. He is a U.S.-based attorney who took a very deep dive into the underworld of conspiracy theories. He's got a degree in political science. Think of Emory. Wow, I almost went to Emory. We should have a conversation up there about that. He also served on the Hill. His book is called Coup, How America Was Stolen in 2020. Drake, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you so much, Kate. It's great to be here.
One of the things that you do in your book is you go state by state. So tell me why you wrote the book and how you did this research.
Absolutely. So it took about a year of investigation. So I began this in 2021 and ended the investigation about the end of March 2022. So it's very recent. There's been some new updates since then, things like the 2000 Mules investigation and whatnot. But the reason why I felt particularly compelled to do this book was because where I live, Pennsylvania, was sort of ground zero for issues in the 2020 election. One thing I'd like to premise this book with is that this isn't very much a political book. It's very much a look. It's sort of a narrative of being on the scenes and just kind of seeing what people were reporting as issues. Many of these issues I saw personally, things like cardboard being placed over the ballot counting areas, things like poll monitors being ejected from polling places. And also just my interest in law, I looked into how many states effectively change their election laws illegally. So this book isn't a discussion about whether those illegal votes should have been counted. It's just an accounting that there were millions of illegal votes in the 2020 election.
Right, and that's what I think is so critical to your book, which is so different from some of the other material that's out there. And you said it because of the research that you did, what you saw. What else did you find out that was definitely egregious, that definitely could be proven?
Well, so I break the book down. I first set the premise of where the population had been primed to find election fraud. So since 2016, we had year after year after year of coverage that 2016 was stolen by some conspiracy that Russia colluded with Trump. And we've had congressional hearings. We've had wall-to-wall investigative coverage. We've had federal investigations, et cetera, for years. Ultimately, what the Senate Intelligence Report found was that Russia had purchased about $100,000 of Facebook ads that were pro-Trump. So it had a very little impact in the election results of 2016. Now, in 2020, we've cataloged state by state, as you mentioned, much more significant issues, irregularities, and fraud, essentially, that you're not allowed to talk about, right? So you're banned on social media if you talk about it. There's almost no big media coverage of it. And there's been no state investigation. Well, there's been some investigations, but no court would accept the case on the merits to actually make a determination about the issues that were found. So, for example, some of the indisputable things that happened in the 2020 election happened in Pennsylvania. So in Pennsylvania, a Democrat elected governor basically changed the election protocols, not election laws, because they can't do that. Only the legislature can do that. But they changed the election protocols to basically allow votes to be counted for as long as necessary, right, beyond the time period that is allowed by law. They also changed the requirements under Pennsylvania law that you need a signature. Or you need to include an address or any of that. So there were thousands and thousands and thousands of simply blank ballots for Joe Biden that came into Pennsylvania that never should have been counted, but were counted anyways. And this is all in violation of the law. So that's an indisputable fact, that there were votes in Pennsylvania that were counted that never would have been counted in any other election. So that's an indisputable fact. Throughout the book, I try to separate things between circumstantial evidence, right? Evidence that you know, creates a likely scenario of something happening. And circumstantial evidence is not dismissive. There have been murders that have been tried on, that have been convicted on circumstantial evidence. And then I also talk about direct evidence and indisputable evidence. Some circumstantial evidence that I address sort of at the beginning of the book. So I essentially go from stating the premise to the circumstantial evidence to the hard evidence, right? So I kind of have that three-arc storyline here. But some of the circumstantial evidence, for example, is that Joe Biden's ticket, and only Joe Biden's, violates Benford's law, which is a law used in detecting accounting fraud. What's interesting about this is that Trump's Benford's law curvature does match the Benford's law, but also so do all Democrat down ballots. It's only the Joe Biden ticket that violates this statistical anomaly. So that's another example of circumstantial evidence. Another piece of circumstantial evidence is I quote an individual named Seth Keschel, who is a U.S. Army intelligence captain involved in identifying fraud during the initial Iraqi elections, during the Iraq War, and essentially his model being applied to the 2020 election proves fraud. Proves fraud, suggests fraud. So those are some of the circumstantial evidence things that I cover as well. And then I go into the more direct evidence like the affidavits, the video footage, things like that that I cover throughout the book.
So for you, as you were digging this up, and I like the way you laid that out and how you told us here in this conversation, the various ways that you did this. Well, at the end of the day, when you look at all that you've pulled together, and you said the reasons why, because of course, social media, you can't go there. We know that. And nobody's covering it. And certainly not in depth. What was the thing when you uncovered a lot of what you uncovered that really just shocked you or surprised you?
Probably the biggest thing was the Arizona election audit. So Arizona did the most thorough, most forensic audit out of any of the states. There actually were only two states that did audits, Arizona and Georgia, both of which were shocking. But in Arizona, it's a provable fact that 27,000 non-citizens to this country voted in the Arizona election. That alone is more than double the victory margin of Joe Biden in that state. So that is indisputable. And what's fascinating is if you just Google search Arizona election fraud, for example, or Arizona election audit, you will see page after page of fact checks, right? And none of them talk about any of the hard data that the audit actually found. They just say something like the Arizona audit proved Joe Biden won. Well, it didn't really. And how can we have this dual reality, right? Well, we can have a dual reality because the fact checkers, the Google fact checkers will say, well, when the Arizona audit said that, okay, yes, there were 11,000 votes for Joe Biden, they confirmed that. So the fact checker relies on that piece of information, but they never talk about that 27,000 of them should never have been counted. So that's how we have this dual reality existing. And it's frankly quite frustrating because we now can't essentially improve our elections. We can't have trust in our elections if we continue to have this dual reality.
Yes. Yeah, so what is your hope for the future as far as our elections are concerned?
Well, I kind of addressed that towards the end of the book. Towards the end of the book, I talk about things that we can do and should do to improve confidence in elections. And then also towards the end of the book, I answer the question, why? Why would anybody do this, right? There's a Times article out there called where they quote that in 2020, quote, cabal of governors and state Supreme Courts and big tech all worked together to win the election for Joe Biden in the air quote interests of democracy, which is sort of a fallacy of a statement in of itself. So they sort of admitted to what they did. But towards the end of the book, I talk about some steps we can take, right? One of them is to open up social media again by maybe changing or reforming Section 230, by maybe codifying the truth in journalism principles. So I make a couple of suggestions, but no greater suggestion than you just have to follow the laws of your own states, right? Because that's what happened. People just didn't follow the laws in their various states. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, all of these states just didn't follow the laws under their own books. That's where all these millions of illegal votes came from. And only, we shouldn't even be having the discussion of whether or not illegal votes should be counted or not. They should never have happened to begin with.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think you're weaving it throughout the conversation. By the way, we're speaking with Drake Alexander, of course. Coup is the book, How America Was Stolen in 2020. You can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place where books are sold. And like I said, you're weaving it in the conversation. But what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
So I hope people take away that what they're being told is not accurate. 2020 election was not the most secure in history, right? Joe Biden is not the most popular president in history, right? So these were things that we were told that made me suspicious of all of this and made me really dig into it. Whether or not we should be counting millions of illegal votes, I think that's a discussion for the population. Maybe we can vote on whether or not that happens, right? You can talk to your state legislature or not. Now, I'm of the opinion, being a lawyer, that they should never be counted. But that's a conversation that we can have. And I just hope people will realize that, whenever the media and social media and all these people, when they don't talk about things and when they force you not to be able to talk about them, there's something there, right? Where there's smoke, there's fire. And when you're prevented from noticing that smoke or that fire, that there's probably something going on that they don't want you to know about.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And here we are getting near the midterm elections. And in a couple of years, of course, we're talking about another presidential election. And I know you'll be watching that. Obviously, I'll be watching that. Drake Alexander, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. Really appreciate it.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm thrilled to take you to a wonderful place, Marbella, Spain, for a conversation with Malin Forsman. And she's written a couple of books, one that's coming out soon, Bad Habits Die Hard, and Louise Becomes Lizette, which is now, I think, more relevant than ever because I feel like we're in the roaring 20s after having come out of the pandemic, et cetera. So, Malin, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, darling.
What is it? We can't just leave all our listeners hanging because they're from all over the world, but there's certainly many in the United States. What is it like where you live in Marbella?
Well, Marbella is very international, but I grew up in Sweden in a beautiful hometown where I loved America from I was 5 years old. I don't know why. And when we were taught at school about America and how a lot of Swedes emigrated over there, I was just, oh, I was thrilled. And I got my first Elvis record when I was 5. And I loved Elvis and Frank Sinatra as a 6 years old. And that was kind of odd. but, you know, my mother, she was a teenager during the 50s. So she had made stuff about Elvis that I got, but she said, Malin, I was never such a big Elvis fan as you are. And it's maybe nice to mention it now because this new movie about Elvis comes out this summer. And without Elvis, I would be dead because when my parents divorced, I was 10 years old and I listened to his live music from 69, Suspicious Minds and Simon and Garfunkel's song "Bridge Over Troubled Waters," that Simon actually said, "Who can beat that?" when they heard Elvis' version of their own song. So I always loved America, and I've been studying over there. God bless you. I've been studying there so many years. And, you know, first time I came to America, I was 16, and I lived in a mansion in Palm Beach, Florida, where my aunt was not a maid, but she was, like, organizing everything for a billionaire couple. So I lived in the West Wing, and it was just incredible. And we had the biggest pool. And next door, Yoko Ono had a house, and I was scared to death. I was scared to death for that woman. But anyway, so in this book, Bad Habits Die Hard, I took something from this mansion that was on Clarendon Avenue in Palm Beach, on the right side of the bridge, over the bridge, they used to say, in the 80s. And that's where the foul play really begins for the main character man, Rory. And he meets this famous author, writer in Seattle. And I lived in Seattle a year. I lived in San Diego a year. I lived in Los Angeles a year. I lived in Honolulu a year. And in Canada and in France. And I always loved America.
You're right. And so that makes sense for what you're talking about in the book. So when people read this book, it's like a great, as you said to me, it's a great, fun, entertaining sort of beach read, right?
Yeah, it's like a beach read or whatever you want to be. And if you're not living in a warm climate, you might want to be in a igloo. I don't know.
Right.
But, I mean, I wish I was in an igloo right now because it's so hot here. I could faint. Oh, my God.
And so many people can relate to that because it's very, very warm in lots of places in the United States. Tell us about the book, and it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Louise Becomes Lizette. Tell us about that and the premise of it.
Well, it's, you know, I started to love America at the age of 5, and I didn't know why, but my grandfather, I learned to know, was born in Illinois in 1894, so it feels like I'm 300 years old, you know. And his name was David Forsman, and he emigrated back to Sweden, even if he was born in America. He had double citizenships. So I was always amazed about this, you know, going to America thing, you know. And so when we were studying in middle grades about the Roaring Twenties in New York, I was just, oh, I was in heaven. I just, oh, they were so fancy, dancing Charleston, drinking champagne with long necklaces. Even if I was just 11 or 12, I just fancied it. And my dream was to become a writer very early. And in junior high, I started to write novels by hand. But when the computer came around, I was just starstruck because it was the perfect, not weapon, but, you know, thing for me, because you can move around, you know, and we talked about that, and you're a writer, I'm a writer, and it's just amazing. And going back to Louise Becomes Lizette, there were so many poor people in Sweden around that era, and the only chance was to emigrate to America for a better life. And my character, Louise, she is a maid, and she gets raped on the boat over. She's going from Southampton, like Titanic Day. But she was convinced she had to go, even if she heard about Titanic, because it was the only ticket for a rise in her life. So, and she makes it. So.
Wow. And it's an interesting story. And then there's, of course, a fabulous ending, which is that we want the fabulous endings, don't we?
Well, the endings are always important. I mean, I grew up, I remember in junior high, and if I felt low or something, I skipped school and went home reading Jackie Collins Eating Chocolate in my bed. And that made me happy. And I thought to myself, one day I want to do this. So I have always a lot of ingredients of sex, mystery, thriller-like, romance in a mixture in all my books. And I haven't just written two. I published four books in Sweden, and I've written two more during the pandemics. And I started to write Bad Habits Die Hard during the pandemics in Mallorca. And now it's coming out the 20th of June, next week. I'm so excited.
Right, and so we'll tell everyone again, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, so look for that book and that story. What do you
think? Yeah, please. And if you write me back some comments, I will answer each one of you.
Perfect.
You know, I love it.
Yeah, perfect. What do you hope overall, all these books that you've written, that people, and I think you've said it, that people take away from reading your books as a lifelong avid reader and now author yourself?
Well, can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, what do you hope people take away when they read your books, how they feel?
Yeah. Yeah, make them happy and smile and just laugh about certain things, because I have also a lot of sense of humor in them. My mother, who sadly passed away last year, she always said, "Marlon, you have such a masculine sense of humor. You laugh at everything the men do." And when I read Jackie Collins as a child, and then Sidney Sheldon, and then David Baldacci and John Grisham, they also had the same sense of humor. So I felt I was not the only woman who could laugh at masculine jokes.
I get it. We're playing for that same team. I laugh at them too as well. So congratulations on all that you've accomplished.
Thank you.
And it's wonderful to speak with you. Marlon Forsman, again, you can get all of her works on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, sweetheart, and have a great summer.
I hope
to talk to you again. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
And we end the show on an up note. Well, I guess if you like Wordle, Josh Wardle, a Brooklyn-based software engineer, hit the jackpot. He's a dude who was at Reddit. He released the online game in October of 2021. It became a huge cultural phenomenon. There's no question about it. And the New York Times bought it for seven figures, supposedly low seven figures, and it just added to what they had, Crossword, the Mini, and Spelling Bee. And this Wordle has become so big, it is now being put into a board, from the phone to a board game. Hasbro decided to partner with New York Times, because the Times, as I just said, bought it. They own Wordle, and they're creating Wordle the Party Game. So this new board game is going to be all about sort of like the party board game, where you pit one person against another, teams against one another. I love it, you know, because it really is a cultural phenomenon. All the nonsense and the noise and the crap and the garbage that's going on and the things that frustrate us to no end, let's be honest, this comes out and people are constantly posting their results, because it's so hard that when they really strike it and they have a good day doing whatever Wordle was that day, they feel the need to be competitive, I guess, or just to say, hey, finally, I did it. And they think it's going to be so popular, pre-orders started Thursday ahead of the October 1st release. It's going to be sold on Hasbro's website, Target, Amazon, Walmart. I think it's like under $20, something like that. Good luck. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Steal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.